All my eyes must see the King, the Lamb upon the throne. Yes, my eyes must see the King, the Lamb upon the throne, who reigns forever.
Father and our God, we stand in awe of your presence. The heavens declare your glory. The earth is full of your handiworks. Only the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. For the invisible things of you are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We worship and honor. We celebrate with our brethren all over the earth today and in heaven the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you again for conceiving the plan of redemption and for the Lord Jesus agreeing to be the Lamb that would be slain and for the Holy Spirit for executing it. We enter your word this morning and afternoon as we begin to share with greater understanding and depth and revelation this great resurrection that you wrought over 2,000 years ago. As I speak, I pray for fresh unction and anointing, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God, and ask and beseech you, Father, that it will please you to put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to the people, do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, causing wills to become more humble, minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, especially a fresh revelation of the resurrection. Emotions to be more controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in great measure to back these words, to follow them wherever they're heard and released in all the earth, to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will be doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word. My Father, that I will do it indeed with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful and mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer, in their own individual life, agreed and said,
Amen.
I have a very prophetic message that I want to bring to us. It will not be long, I promise you. I know today is Easter Sunday, and people want to go home and eat. And that's all right too. But today is of great prophetic significance. God has been revealing to me the times and the seasons of his purposes. That's not going to be my message today. I'm just going to bring out one aspect of what the Holy Spirit is currently revealing and saying to the church as it pertains to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've entitled it The Resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. Turn with me in your Bible, if you will, to John chapter 11. Pastor Kule preached so beautifully from this on Wednesday, and this is like a continuation of that, really, an amplification, a clarification. John chapter 11, I'm not going to take long. We're just going to hit some scriptures. And the first scripture I want us to go to is from verse 23. I'm just going to hit some scriptures and I'll give the background because of time. We can't read all the scriptures. You know, it will be counterproductive to do so. Right. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Verse 24. And Martha saith unto him, I know. Don't your neighbor, I know now. I know he will rise again. After all, Daniel tells us that they will rise in the last day. So I know they will rise. Oh, Jesus, what do you think I am? I'm not an unbeliever. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I know you know. Tell your neighbor, say, I know you know that the dead will rise again. But that's not the issue. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. We always put the resurrection off to the last day. This is what Mary did. So, you know, Martha and Mary. Next verse, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I didn't hear you.
I am.
Turn to your neighbor and say, not going to be. I am presently the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Next verse. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now this is the $1 million question. Believest thou this? Observe. She believes that the resurrection will happen in the last day. But that's not the issue. That's not the question. The question is not whether you believe that there will be a resurrection on the last day. Do you believe that now, today, Jesus is the resurrection and the life? And that you can experience resurrection life today. That is the issue. I don't doubt, we say it every Sunday, you know. Well, we don't say it here in this church, but in many churches we say it, but we don't say it like that. We have what we call the Apostles' Creed. I believe, you know, God the Father, the Son, and so on and so forth. I don't remember all of it offhand, but you know, I have the basics of it, you know, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, was taken before Pontius Pilate, etc., etc., etc. That's fine. Amen. But do you believe he is now, today, the resurrection and the life? And that if you were dead now, he can give life to you now, not at the last day. That is the issue and the crux of this message. Pastor Kule shared with us on Wednesday, living in the resurrection. So the resurrection is more than an event that is going to take place sometime in the future. The resurrection is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who you can actively live and participate in today. Now, you know, when we start talking like this, people get nervous. Well, you're not alone. Martha got nervous. Hello? Martha got nervous. And I want to give you a little bit of background, you know, so you can identify. That's why the scriptures were written. The Bible says these scriptures were written to give us, you know, comfort and hope through the scriptures, that we might have hope. You know, the Bible is written so that we can identify with the characters in the Bible and we can see that they went through the same infirmities and doubts and issues that we're going through today. Now you have to understand, Mary and Martha knew who Jesus was. They knew he was the Son of God. She said so. She said, I know you're the Son of God. There was no doubt in their mind about that. Brother, by the time you've been with this guy for 3 years, talk to me. This man, like Flavius Josephus, writes in some of that if it be lawful to call him a man. this carpenter from Nazareth, a Nazarene with long hair, who changes water to wine, who walks on water, who makes the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, not one, not two, not five, not ten, in their thousands, from whom virtue comes out and heals all of a multitude. This same Jesus used to stay in their house. They were his friends. In Bethany. Bethany was one of his places. It was close to Jerusalem. You know, he used to stop there. It was not his first time. That's why when Lazarus was sick, they sent for him. They were acquaintances. So you couldn't come and tell them anything about Jesus they didn't know. They knew he was the Christ. They knew he had power. They knew he could heal. They had seen it. But this is a completely different ballgame. So she got nervous. Like you guys are getting nervous as you're listening to me. Say, where is Pastor Lupi going? I hope he's not going to tell us we're not going to die. Die if you want. But it is available not to die. I'm not saying we will not die. Let me just take a quick, you know, detour and quickly come back, because you know you need balance. And when people hear this thing, they run off, you know, at a tangent. You know, this truth we're preaching about resurrection life doesn't mean you will not or you cannot die as a Christian. Of course you can die. Of course Christians will die all the time, you know. So that's not the issue. The issue is there is a place in Christianity where we can have dominion over death. Dominion over death doesn't mean you won't die or you cannot die. It just means you will control when you die, where you die, and how you die. That's a completely different ballgame. I'm going to finish it. The Holy Ghost said you didn't finish it properly. You can control when you die, where you die, how you die. That is not you alone, but you and God in cooperation. And if you die. Thank you, Pastor Wale. You picked it. And if you die, that is a decision that you and God can come to. This is a personal agreement. It's not for everybody. Correction, it is for everybody who can pay the price. Thank you, Pastor Bega. You took it right out of my, believest thou this. You're just as nervous as Martha. They had seen Jesus do wonderful things, but this was beyond whatever they could even want to try to believe. So Martha screams, wanting not the master to be disgraced, not wanting Jesus to overstretch his faith. And she said, Lord, by this time he will be stinking. He has been in the grave for 4 days. Watch it, Master. Don't step your bounds. Hello, somebody. Jairus' daughter was a different thing. She just died 2 minutes. Maybe 10, 15. Maybe she wasn't really dead. And she was unconscious, and they thought she was dead. And you know, we heard that story. And the woman at Nain, the widow of Nain, you know, maybe they were too much in a hurry to put him inside the coffin. At least he wasn't in the ground yet. But this is different. This is different. It's one of the reasons why it is written at the end of the Gospels. It is actually the last major miracle Jesus did before he was arrested, and put away. I want to throw this to you. If you can receive it, receive it. If you can't receive it, chew on it. You know, and the time will come when you can receive it. Even Jesus was growing. Oh God. The religious people just went, God doesn't grow. No, Jesus wasn't operating as God when he was on earth. He was operating like a man like you and I. Are you listening to me? What Jesus did in John 11, he couldn't have done in John 2. He was growing. He was growing. What he did at the beginning, towards this miracle, this last miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, God allowed it to be done so that it was settled forever. This controversy about the resurrection. And that is why we read the words that we read. And that's why Jesus said what he said. The background of the story is very simple. Lazarus, his friend, was sick. And he was nigh unto death. And they sent to him. And Jesus didn't come. He did the exact opposite. He stayed where he was for 2 extra days and let him die properly. Under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. So not only did Lazarus die, he was buried. Graveyard dead. And put in a tomb. And it was sealed. So any hope of raising him from the dead, this is not Jairus' daughter, it's not the son of the widow of Nain, where they hadn't yet buried them. You know, so... And God allowed it. You know what Jesus said? He said that for it is because of you, so that you will believe. He said, that is why I didn't come. He said, this sickness is not on the dead, but that the glory of God. Allowed him to die properly. So when they're going to write the Gospels, there will be no room for human doubt. This is the person we're dealing with. Oh, he knows his onions. He talking to me. So he lets him die properly. Then he comes to the place and he says, you know, I thank God, you know, that I wasn't here to the intent that you may believe. He's praying. I'm going to come back to that later on. And he raises him from the dead. Let me just to confirm to Martha and to us generations down the line that he is not just the resurrection at a particular time, a particular event and at the last day, but he is the living resurrection today. It is highly instructive to note that he was the resurrection before he was resurrected. I am. And that's his name. The same name from Genesis and Exodus. He said, who sent you? I am that I am. I am whatever you want me to be. There is nothing I cannot do. So I am that I am. And one of those I ams is resurrection. Hasn't changed. Same yesterday, today, and forever. The I am of Exodus is still the same I am of John. And it's still the same I am of April 15, 16, 2017. He has not changed. He's as much the resurrection today as he was 2,000 years ago. And he can be and wants to be the resurrection in you today. You don't have to wait until the last day to experience resurrection power in your life. Hence the typology of Abraham and Sarah. The resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. What do we mean? The resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ
is available to Christians today. It has been available since the day Jesus was raised from the dead. Sadly and regrettably, many Christians are ignorant of the reality and the present availability of this resurrection power, and in their ignorance put it off to the last day, exactly like Martha. We believe in the resurrection, but we don't believe in the resurrection today. We believe in the resurrection at the last day. It is for this reason the great apostle Paul prayed the prayer for the Ephesians, because they were ignorant, that God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you will know three things: the hope of the calling, the riches of the glory of Jesus, and the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power. In other words, if you don't have revelation, you will not know that the resurrection power is available today. You will keep putting it off to the last day. It takes revelation. The eyes of your understanding have to be enlightened so that you can know, firstly, by revelation, then secondly, with time, by experience. The fact that the resurrection power is not something that's going to be only available at the last day, that is available today. Am I talking to anybody here? Hence, the scripture, the same Paul, Pastor G, what will we do without Paul? Thank God for Paul. Every day, I just thank God for that man. You know, he's in heaven now. Give Paul a clap offering, somebody. He's not dead. Hallelujah. Do you know all the people in heaven are watching us? Not all of them, but some of them. All who want to watch are watching. Are you listening? As I'm preaching now, the whole place is open. Oh, yes. The scripture says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, the more I walk in this thing, the more heaven and earth become closer to me. I don't think of it as some faraway place, and, you know, I'm very conscious that they are conscious of what we're doing. I'll say that again. I'm very conscious that they are conscious of what we're doing. The dead aren't dead. They're conscious. They're alive. They're just not here. The guys in Siberia are alive. They're just not here. The fact that they're not here doesn't make them dead. The dead are dead physically. Don't misunderstand me. I understand that. But they are not unconscious. They are aware of what's going on. They're conscious. That's why it says he's not the God of the dead, but of the God of the living. Hallelujah. He's the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, and of Paul. So give Paul another clap offering. Hallelujah. That's okay too. Amen. I know all the glory goes to Jesus. Don't worry, Paul isn't going to take the glory to himself. chill. Are you listening to me? We're just appreciating what this great man, God did through this great man. He allowed God to do. And so, Paul, this same Paul, tells us in Philippians, the third chapter, in verses 10 and 11, and I like this in the Amplified Bible, if you will. The Amplified Bible reveals, through the writings of the Apostle Paul, the availability of resurrection power today. Not at the last day alone. We do not do away with the fact of the last day. That's there, and we're going to get it. But there is an availability, a present tense availability of resurrection life for the Christian now. Amen. You don't have to wait only until the last day before you can experience resurrection power. Amen. May God have mercy on us. Amen. I'm going to ask that question again. Believest thou this? See, many of us still have a Martha mentality. We believe in the resurrection at the last day. But to believe in the resurrection power today, especially to the extent Pastor Olubi is about to preach it, makes us as nervous as Martha was nervous for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was nervous. You know, she loved the Lord. And she didn't want the guy in disgrace. Pastor, it'll be after you guys preach all of these things. What if you don't experience that resurrection power? What's going to happen? People are going to laugh at you. So what?
See, so long as you're thinking about your reputation, you will never go far in God. Overcomers do not love their lives unto the death. If you keep loving your life unto the death, you will never overcome.
For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively. I like this because it is amplified. He's telling you this is not an instantaneous thing. This is something that is a process. Am I talking to anybody? I got another tweet or text, if you like. It was the same process with the Lord Jesus. You know, we often think that Jesus got everything overnight. No! The Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature. Thank you, Pastor Larry. The Jesus of 18 years old was not the Jesus of 25. What Jesus knew when he was 25 was more than what he knew when he was 18. And what he knew when he was 29 was more than when he was 25. It was progressive. Just like you and I. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding, this is lovely, the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. So it can get clearer. As I'm preaching this to you and teaching you this, it is clearer to me today than it was last week. Hello, somebody. I'm preaching with such a confidence now that I have pretty much more confidence now than I was preaching last month. Hello, somebody. Because it's become clearer to me. You may not be there yet, but I can tell you from my own perspective and point of view, I haven't got a shadow of the doubt of the manifestation of the resurrection power in the church today. It, to me, it's no longer a theory. It's not something I'm trying to believe. I already know it. I'm experiencing my physical body as I speak to you, and it's getting increasing on a daily basis. So, this is where God wants us to get to, where we don't just believe, we begin to know. Don't let me get off my point. More strongly and more clearly, that I may, in that same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. Turn to your neighbor and say, resurrection power is exerting influence over you. The power, it's outflowing from his resurrection, and then it is exerting a dominion. Let's go back to kingdom now. Over you. You should be experiencing it in an increasing fashion, which it exerts over believers. It's not over non-believers, it's over believers. Let's ask that question again. Believers, doubtless. Thank you, Pastor Quaker. One honest comment. You know, most Christians don't believe this stuff. Oh, they believe in the resurrection of Jesus, the last day, but they don't believe that the resurrection power is available now, exerting an influence over them. But we haven't got to the good part yet. That I may so share his sufferings, so as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope. Next verse. Keep it in the Amplified. The Amplified is the best for this particular verse. The Amplified is the best. There are some translations that are best in different areas. That's why we need the Spirit and not the letter. It's by revelation we know which translations fit best. Because we have the mind of the person who wrote the scripture. So when a translation is very accurate, we can say, that's the best translation there. Another message for another day. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Give the Lord a clap offering. I'm going to say now that's God. I will blow the religious mind completely away, but I will say it because it is God who's put it in my heart. There is a pre-glorification resurrection. Oh my God. Try and decipher that. I'll say it again. There is a pre-glorification resurrection. Pastor Lupi, you're nervous like Martha. Now let me, don't worry, stay with me. At the resurrection at the last day, we are going to be resurrected and glorified. That is, this body will change. We read it today. One of the pastors reading it, after Jesus was raised from the dead, he suddenly appeared to them in the room. Hello? Because you see, his body is a glorified body. It's not a physical, natural body anymore. It is a spiritual body. It has the ability to operate in the spirit and the physical realm simultaneously. So he can disappear. And then he can appear. Faster than speed of light, prof. Speed of light is a little bit slow. Hello, somebody. Oh, yes. Much faster than speed of light. You know, come in and out. You know, walk through walls. That's a glorified body. I'm not preaching that. We can't have a glorified body now. We don't get a glorified body until the last day. But there is a resurrection. Hallelujah. That is available in the mortal body before its glorification. If words mean anything, that's what Paul is writing about. He said that if I may. In other words, Paul hadn't got there yet. It was reserved for the end time. I was saying something with Larry yesterday. We were somewhere with all our cousins and all of that, doing my uncle's 30th remembrance, and I was talking to the young people and encouraging them and all of that. And I said, you see these kids, you know, we got born again on the ripples. Watch this. We got born again on the ripples of Pentecost. What do you mean by ripple? You know what a ripple is. You drop a stone somewhere and then, you know, you get the wave goes on like that. You know, Pentecost happened 2,000 years ago. Are you listening to me? We got born again. We are feeling the ripples of Pentecost. It went, you know, it was dropped 2,000 years ago. Then the waters kind of subsided during the Dark Ages and the Reformation. Then we felt the ripples again, you know, at the beginning of the last century, 1900, 1901, 1906, the Azusa Street Revival. Every single one of us here is a product of the ripple of Pentecost. But you know what? Our kids are going to get born again on the wave of tabernacles. Koseleme, not ripple. Tidal wave. There is a glory that is about to be revealed. Hallelujah. It was going to sweep in millions, yea, billions, into the kingdom. It is described graphically in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 5. And the world stage is exactly set for it. Behold darkness, yea, gross darkness. All you need for gross darkness is that guy in North Korea, Donald in the White House, and the other guy where he is. And Putin in the Kremlin. That, if that doesn't give you blood, gross darkness, I don't know what else will. Talk to me, somebody. Every day on this trip to England, you know, when we put on television in the morning, I say, Wale, what has Donald done again? Although I agree with him in some things. I agree with what he's done. Don't misunderstand me. But the point is, it doesn't get darker than what it is now. Go madmen in funny places. This Joker, He can wake up tomorrow and send something out. This is the time for the church to arise. It says, gross darkness shall cover the earth. He said, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen, not perceived. Seen. Manifestation. This does not describe Pentecost. This is tabernacles. Let's read it. It's beautiful stuff. Verse 2. And the Gentiles, I would say nations, shall come to thy light. Turn to your neighbor and say, whose light? Your light. The light of the church. You are the light of the world. Didn't you know? Ignorance is not a good thing. And kings, Donald, Valdemir, Jim, and whoever else, Eric Kim, whoever else, will come to the brightness of thy rising. Something's about to hit them that's much more severe, if I can use that expression. I don't know whether it's severe as the right expression. That's much more impactful than a nuclear weapon. What we've got is far superior to any nuclear weapon. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The world hasn't seen power yet. Resurrection power, thank you. Amen. Kings of the brightness will arise. Next verse, verse 4. Lift up thine eyes. Who is he talking to? You. Touch your neighbor, says you. Talk to you. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. They gather themselves together and they come unto thee. What is the title of the Feast of Tabernacles? The Feast of Ingathering. This does not describe Pentecost. This describes tabernacles. That's what's about to hit now as I speak. The earth. We've thank God for Pentecost. We came under ripples from 2,000 years ago. We still felt it and got it now. But it will just be a speck, a drop, compared to what is coming with tabernacles. See, for those who don't know, there are three Jewish feasts that correspond to three Christian experiences. Sadly, it's not being preached or emphasized and taught. You know, most Christians think life begins and ends with Pentecost. They even call Pentecost full gospel. It's a misnomer. Pentecost is not a full gospel. It's the earnest gospel. It's the earnest. It's just a down payment. Speaking in tongues is not the end. It's just the beginning. Yes, amen. The end is to be like exactly like Jesus. The end is when you too can raise the dead after 4 days like Jesus did. And tell everybody, don't get nervous. Believest thou this? Hallelujah. Don't just go there. They'll stone you. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Kule preached on Wednesday. He said, you know, living in the resurrection. The resurrection is a person. If you can receive it, I'm just taking from what Pastor. If you don't like this, go and fight Pastor Kuega, not me. No, Pastor Kuega. Now, if Jesus is the resurrection, and the mystery of the gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory, so it means the resurrection is in you. So you can tell somebody else, I am the resurrection. Hello. Just now fight Pastor Boyan and Pastor Kule. But that's what it is. That we may grow up into him in all things, including the resurrection. Either you take the Bible or you reject it. No point, you know, watering the thing down to suit your theology. Hello, somebody. All right. So this is the Feast of Tabernacles. They come, they gather. Thy sons and daughters shall come from afar. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Verse 5. We'll stop there. And thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged for the abundance of the sea. That sea is not the Atlantic Ocean. It's not the Pacific Ocean. It's the people. Shall be converted unto thee. And the forces. That word force means wealth. We haven't seen money yet. Hello, somebody. I haven't seen money yet. We've just cracked the surface. You know, shall come unto thee. So this describes the Feast of Tabernacles. And we got born again on the ripples of Pentecost. But our children, and as long as you know, our kids are born again, they're spirit-filled, they're speaking tongues, but they're not very serious about their Christianity. Now, have you noticed that? The second generation, because many of them didn't see the power of God the way we saw it. When we got born again. Hello, somebody. Oh, I've seen the power of God. Talk to me. Oh, yes, I've seen people demonic or possessed, you know, behaving like a serpent on my sitting room floor in UI. When it was just a baby, and I cast the devil out and he went out. Not theory. Are you listening to me? You know, but many of the generation haven't seen anything like that. Do you understand? I've seen the power of God, raw power of God in operation. Hello, somebody. Are you listening to me? But that's not the ripples of Pentecost. Not the tidal wave of Tabernacles. You know, most Christians haven't even ever heard of Tabernacles. Taba what? Everybody was a Pentecostal Christian. Was it Tabernacle? Taba what? They will hear. They will hear. That's the next move of God that's coming. Passover corresponds to the born again experience. Pentecost corresponds to the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit, not the fullness of the Spirit. Even though we say you're filled, just feel just like filling a cup with water. Then when you fill a cup and it, you know, a tumbler, you fill it with water and you get it to the top, then it spills over. That spillover is the tongues. So what happens is that the power of the Spirit comes into you and then it fills you and then it comes out through your tongue. But it's only the earnest of the Spirit in terms of the measure of that power and what it can do. That measure will not turn water to wine. Have you tried it? Just in case you don't believe me. Next time you have a wedding, don't order for any wine. Just serve all the guests with water and just come. In the name of Jesus. I wish some of these fake pastors. Miracle. Turn water to wine. Let's see where you are. Silly fellow. Amen. The earnest cannot do what only the fullness was designed to do. And the fullness is not given as a gift. It is crowned as a reward. It requires dedication, consecration, spiritual growth for many years, just like it did in the Lord Jesus. I don't know if I should say that, Lord. They were about to crucify me. You know, Lord said something to me. I said, Lord, you know, you know, just like it did in the Lord Jesus. Just like it did in the Lord Jesus. It took Jesus time, you know. It took him years of consecrated, concentrated spiritual growth. God could trust him with a spirit without measure. But you will get it too. Amen. Okay, let me move on. So, there is a pre-glorification resurrection. I've never heard that before. I heard it the first time you heard it. Just there. It is a resurrection before the glorification of the physical body. it is available. It has not yet, as I speak, been made manifest in the earth. Even the time of Paul, they saw it afar off, they recorded it, but they didn't experience it. Very little of it, but not the, that's why Paul said, I don't count myself to have attained. He said, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. It's available. And this time and season of tabernacles is the time for which the church is to experience it. Hence my message today. Resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. Now, turn with me also to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. This scripture, many people, if you come to this local church, you'll be very familiar with this. If you're not, then, you know, you need to look it up and, you know, sit with it and meditate upon it and let it sink into your heart. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So that there'll be no mistake about it. So that your religious mind would not get off tangent. Paul repeats it. The next verse. Verse 11. For we which live. I didn't hear you. Don't your neighbor say, are you living? He's talking to you. For we which live. Are always delivered unto death. For Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus. Might be made manifest. In our mortal flesh. This is the pre-glorification resurrection. The flesh is still mortal. It's not become immortal. But the life of God is now being made manifest inside a mortal flesh. Amen. I want you to observe that here in those two verses, 10 and 11, Paul is speaking about an experience that is ahead of him. It's not only he has experience, he says, we are bearing about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life might be. In other words, it hasn't yet been, but that is where we are going. That is our destination. Am I talking to anybody here? Hello, somebody. Now, here we are. I'm going to get to Abraham and Sarah in a minute. And trust me, I'll close soon. Promise you. Lord, have mercy. Amen. You know, God's word is good. I don't know about you. I prefer it to rice and dodo. Now, there's nothing wrong with rice and dodo. But get the word first. Hello, somebody. There's no 3 hours after today. So, chill. Okay. Even if there was, how many came? Come. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Right. Okay. Now, the life of God being made manifest in the mortal flesh is what Paul is the same Paul that wrote Philippians 3, 10 and 11 is the same Paul that wrote 2nd. He's talking about exactly the same thing. Do you notice that in Philippians chapter 3 verses 10 and 11 he said that I may know the power of his resurrection and become conformed to his death. We which live are always delivered unto death. In other words, there is a place in your Christian life. There is a point in your Christian life where you will begin to die so that others can live. Amen. Just like Jesus. I preached this some months ago. The life of God is coming inside you because you've learned how to operate it properly. You now become a receptacle of life. And God knows he can trust you. So God now starts to take some of the life in you and divert it to others. So life works in them but death in you. So you begin to experience the same thing Jesus experienced on the cross. You're giving life to others but you're dying. The word dying there doesn't mean you're going to die physically. It just means that a significant measure of the life of God that is coming to you so that God can help other people is directed to other people, and therefore you have some problems because of that. So you are now fellowshipping his sufferings. You now begin to the fellowship of his sufferings. So you feel weak. Where ordinarily you should have been strong, But because some of the life in you was taken for others, you now feel the weakness. It is part of what Jesus felt. And God wants to see if you're ready to make the same sacrifice He made. Now, you're not going to die, don't misunderstand me. But you will feel it to some degree. And when you feel it, and you experience it, and you begin to understand the reason why it is happening, that is for the benefit of others, and then you embrace it, then you begin to behave like Jesus. Then God says, aha, this is one that has become like my son. And after a while, it's not going to be forever. Amen. Jesus lost life, but he didn't lose it forever. That was after 2 days. He will give life, and then in the third day, he will raise up from the dead. So what's going to happen is that after some time, now I don't know, I'm not going to go get into that, but you know, as you grow spiritually, a point comes where God allows that to happen for some time. You know, you won't be sick or anything like that. It's just that you will feel the pressures, you know. And I asked the Lord, you know, about this recently. I said, Lord, why are you letting all this kind of thing happen? You know, I mean, Jesus has paid the price and all of that. He said, yeah, Jesus paid the price, laid the foundation for all of you. He said, but when you begin to do that, you begin to be touched with the feelings of the infirmities of others. So that when you are glorified, or rather, when you begin to experience resurrection life manifesting in your body, you will be compassionate. You're touched with the feeling of the infirmities of others. I used to be a very critical kind of person. You know, I would say it out, but in my heart, I said, this person doesn't have faith. Or this person is this, or this person is that. And God says, you know, you have to be like Jesus. So you're touched with the feel. When you see, he says, and Jesus looked at them and they were like sheep without a shepherd. He said, and if they go by the way, they will faint. He said, let them sit down. Let's give them something to eat. So, there is a point in our Christian life where that resurrection life is diverted. It comes into us, it's diverted for the benefit of the... That happens for a while. And then, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, we're beginning to close, tells us, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. I love this scripture. It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Don't you know, say you must suffer a while, Lou. Now, how long that while is in God's hands and your hands. But don't let that bother you. Let's put that one aside. Let's concentrate on the good news. After you've suffered a while, God will make you what? Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That is the resurrection life and power being made manifest in the mortal flesh. Now, how does this attain to apply to Abraham and Sarah and us today? I got to close in a few minutes. Number one, Abraham, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 51, I think it is, which says, look to Abraham and Sarah. Everybody, quickly go there. Isaiah 51. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, I don't know about you, but I preached me happy. Look unto Abraham your father. I didn't hear you. And unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Next verse. No. Move back. Where it says, look unto Abraham, the rock from which you were hewn. Verse 1, please. Go to verse 1. Yes. Hearken unto me, that follow the right, ye that follow after righteousness, and ye that seek the Lord, unto the rock from whence you were hewn. Where were you hewn? We were all hewn from Abraham and Sarah. Now, Jesus, you know, but we're the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. So he now is telling us to look to them as types. Now, of all the people, Old Testament characters in the Bible, it is only Abraham and Sarah that are recorded to experience a reversal of death in their physical body while yet in the body. That's where we're going. That is the pre-glorification resurrection. Abraham, give me Romans chapter 4. I'm not talking to anybody here. Verse 17. The resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. And then you can put your own name there. Abraham and Sarah are like unknowns, placeholders. It's like X and Y. In any algebraic equation, you can always put any, you know, so you can take the Abraham out and put Olubi. You can take the Sarah out, you know, and put Sholakwe. You can take the and put Kule. You know, it's for anybody who is the seed of Abraham. That's why I said, look to the template. Look to the rock from whence you were hewn. I'm not talking to anybody here. If that doesn't get you shouting, I don't know what will. Oh! Glory to God. Am I talking to anybody here? Amen. Amen. Now, what happened to Abraham and I and Sarah is a type of what can and should happen to any Christian who walks in this thing to that degree and becomes allows the life of God made manifest in their mortal flesh. Let me say it in a simple way, the way Paul said it, and gets the prize of the high calling. There is calling, there is high call. You know, most Christians think they're called to go to heaven. That's a calling. But there is a high call. Now, give me this New International Version. I like this, but I like the New International Version. This, again, is an example of another scripture where the New International Version captures the spirit better than any other translation that I have come across. In fact, I listened to Derek Prince. I had the privilege and the honor to sit at the feet of one of the masters, Derek Prince. And he was a Hebrew and Greek scholar. He spoke fluently about 19 languages, if I remember, you know, Italian, French, German. He studied philosophy at Cambridge. This was back in the 1920s and 30s. He was a scholar par excellence. God put him in a corner and got him born again during World War II as a hospital attendant in the desert when they were fighting Rommel and the British Expeditionary Forces. And he got born again and all of that. And I heard Derek Prince say this. He said the New International Version is the most accurate to the Greek that there is among all the translations. I just captured it. That's why anything I always get New International. It's not right in all places. He said, but it is the closest to the original Greek. Now here, Paul says, writing about Abraham, I've made you a father of many nations. Hello. He's our father, I didn't hear you, in the sight of God in whom we believe. The God who gives life to the dead. Say it to your neighbor, say it about three times. God gives life to the dead. Say it again. Say it again. Then I say, Shobosha. God gives life to the dead, like Lazarus and like you. Hold on, Ajay, I believe it. Wow! And calls the things that are not as though they are. Don't let me go there. Because I'm not preaching a faith message. Let's move on. Where's a faith message? But that's not my emphasis now. Verse 18. Against all hope. This is the template. Look to Abraham and Sarah. The rock from whence you were hewn. So if you want to experience this resurrection, this pre-glorification resurrection, you must follow this pattern. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, so and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19. Without weakening, in alignment, that means God will help us and God will have mercy on us. May God help our unbelief.
Amen.
May God change us from Martha to Jesus.
Amen.
In our minds. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact. Turn to never say face facts. Don't deny them. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Resurrection. He wasn't dead yet physically, but his body was as good as dead. This is a 100-year-old man. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Turn to your neighbor and say, dead. Graveyard dead. Verse 20. Yet he did not waver through unbelief. Turn to your neighbor and say, like Martha. Careful, Martha. Regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. I like the next verse. And that's where I'm going to stop this particular section. Hallelujah. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Give the Lord a clap offering. I don't know about you, but I declare unto you that I am fully persuaded that God has the power to give life to my mortal body today. Give the Lord a clap offering. The Holy Ghost is talking to me as I'm talking. I did not make that promise to myself. It was not Olubi Johnson that thought it up. Are you listening to me? That promise was not, I was going my way gently, minding my business, when I now read in the Bible where it said that the life of God may be made manifest in my mortal flesh, and I chose to believe it. Chicken up. I chose to believe it. Hallelujah. Just like Abraham. He faced the fact. I look at myself. I'm almost 60 now. I'm 58 years this year. Amen. Some of my hair is growing white. Hello. Yes. You know, I still exercise. I still did it this morning. I do press-ups, push-ups. I try and keep fit and all of that. But I know I'm not as strong as I was when I was 25. I face that fact. I don't deny it. But then I do not waver in unbelief. I do not waver in my faith that my God is able to do what he has promised. You know why? I've experienced the earnest of that power. I know it's real. So if God said it, trust me, he will do it.
Yeah.
The life of God can come into the physical body in the nasty here and now, not just in the sweet by and by, not at the last day, right here and now. The life of God can come in such significant measure into the physical body, that the physical body will be renewed.
Amen.
That's exactly what happened to Abraham and Sarah. His body was as good as dead. And God raised the body while he was in the body. He didn't raise him from the dead. He raised his dead body while he was in the body. If you can receive it, receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. Something happened. There was a biological reversal of the normal aging process. And the aging process switched. So, a 100-year-old man suddenly became virile. And he became stronger. And he started looking younger. He was 100. He started looking like when he was 60. The wife was 90. Her womb was dead. But the life of God was made man. Look to Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you were hewn. At 90, the life of God began manifest. But the woman began to get younger. So much so that an Oba Bezalel, that a king looked at her and said, "Ha! See this fine woman." He certainly could never have thought she was 90. Lie, lie. Maybe she's in her 30s. 60 years just reversed. I'm going to ask a question. Believest thou this? It's a very important question. It is just as it is as difficult, probably more, for us to believe that the life of God can be made manifest in our mortal flesh in the manner I've just described. See, that's why I took a pattern, Abraham and Sarah. This is not pie in the sky. This is not that we're going to live forever and that we cannot die and go and jump off the 24th building and that's all spooky. God isn't spooky. I'm telling you reality. This is what happened as recorded inside the scriptures. Are you listening to me? Now, as it's difficult for your mind to accept it, as much as it was difficult for Martha to accept that Jesus could raise Lazarus that day. Hello, Martha. Repent, Martha. No, Lord. By this time, he stink. But the apostle tells us, he said, he not being weak in faith, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. This is what I want you to do. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully, not just persuaded, fully, that what he had promised, he was able to do. I'm about to blow your mind. If God could reverse the physical body's aging in the Old Testament, what will he do in a better testament established upon better promises? Believest thou this? I don't know about you, but I believe it. I believe it completely. Hallelujah. Closing. How do we get it? Very simple matter. Pastor Kunle touched on it on Wednesday and I just amplified groaning. Hey! End of story. Did I hear? About five people clapped. Oh clap. record is changing. Do you notice that? Let's go to John 11. I'm going to close. 5 minutes. God help me. Do you know that in John 11? I know today is Easter Sunday, but you're not going anywhere. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're going to go to Agodi Gardens. It doesn't close until 5. Praise the Lord. Or you want to go to Ventura to go and watch film, you will go. Amen. So hear this one first. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. Labor not for the bread that perisheth. But for the one that endureth unto everlasting life. Ventura will not change your mortal body. The dodo you will eat this afternoon will not change your mortal body. But what I'm teaching you will change your mortal body. Value it more than what you are thinking about. You know why? The Holy Ghost says some people, their mind is no longer here. They say, Pastor, round up. Pastor, round up. Pastor, mufe malole. And then you control them and you can round up. And you saw grace kamalole. And it's Easter Sunday. You won't go prophetic, prophetic. Unfortunately, or rather sadly for you, I did not send myself. I'm a messenger. So if you want to fight anybody, fight the God who sent me. Am I talking to anybody here? I think I finally got your attention. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. John chapter 11. And then let me pick those verses because of this guy's already picked it by the Spirit. It means my social life is walking up there. Glory to God. Now watch this. When Jesus saw her weep, this is Martha and Mary, and Jesus, he groaned. That's why I like, here, the best is the King James. See, that's why different translations. You have to, if you don't have the Spirit, you will not know which translation is best. That's why the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's why you have to pray a lot in tongues and have revelation knowledge. Then you'll be able to know this is, that's why I don't play with the King James. Because some of the other translations completely miss this. Because they take the groaning out. And once you take the groaning out, you miss the connection. It's a key word. It says, and Jesus groaned in the Spirit. Let me. And was troubled. Troubled not because of Lazarus. Troubled because of the people. Well, they were crying and misbehaving all over the whole place. Now, the point is this. Why was he groaning? He was groaning to release resurrection life that was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Now, watch this. When they went to go and tell him about Lazarus, before Lazarus died, do you understand? They said he was sick, nigh unto death. He hadn't died yet. Just deliberately stayed where he was and he prayed. He took 2 solid days. Perhaps he abode where he was for 2 days. What do you think he was doing? He was praying. So when he got here, and then he was told, he said he's been dead for 4 days. And then this Martha and all the unbelief around him, you know, say, Lord, by this time, you know what they told him? He said, if you had been here, if you had been here, we know your anointing now. We know you pray, you heal the sick. You know. He said, if even Jairus' daughter, if you had just been here, maybe like a day ahead or some days ahead, the man would not have died, and then we would have been able to have raised him from the dead. He said, but time to law. Elite Koja. The window has closed. Don't let anybody ever tell you that. Amen. Resurrection power can open any window. Devil closes. Glory to God. When he heard that, he said, where have you laid him? I'm not walking in darkness. They said, they wanted to kill you. He said, you are walking in the light, dark. You can't know where you are going. God is the one who told me to go and raise him. Our friend Lazarus sleeping. I go to awaken him. So when he got there, as he was approaching the throne, the tomb, you can imagine the devil. Don't forget, Jesus was subject to the same temptations like us. You know, we always think Jesus was just this Superman and that he had no problem. He too had. You see that in Gethsemane. Are you listening to me? You know, this is not Jairus' daughter. Shout out. This is not Jairus' daughter. This is not even the son of the woman, widow of Nain. This one has been dead 4 days. So, as he approached the place he was praying, he groaned in the spirit to release resurrection life. And so that you will know it's not a mistake, God repeated it twice. For two is God's number for witness. Look at verse 38. And Jesus, therefore, everybody shout, again! Because he had done it before. Groaning in him. You know, there's a groan that can be quiet. The ghosts who are close to him, like John and all, could hear him. But the guy who is afar of won't even know what Jesus is doing. There are times when I'm praying in the spirit and I'm groaning, you won't even know what I'm doing. I know, because, you know, I've experienced this, so I know. You know, he groaning in himself cometh to the grave. He had prayed before, but he was doing mopping up operation. Yes, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he gets there. No iota of fear. No iota of doubt. He had groaned it all out. You know, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, pulling down strongholds, a stronghold of thousands of years that says you cannot raise a man who has been buried for 4 days. It has never been done. Even Elisha, all the Old Testament people, the person would just have died a few minutes and they come and they raise the person from the dead. But this one, groaning. That's how you're going to release it to, into your own body. That's what groaning is all about. One of the things, you are pumping life from the inner man, the innermost being, and then you pump it and it comes up into the physical body, enters into and drives death out. That's how he did it. Then he got there and said, roll away the stone. Lazarus! Come forth. I'm sure everybody was waiting for the cinema that was going to happen. But hey, Jesus shilling. I know the devil well enough to know that he would even have told Jesus the same thing. But he just ignored him. Don't forget, Jesus was not operating as God. He was operating as a man under the anointing. He had the tempted in every way, like as we are. You know, these are scriptures you have to keep at the back of your mind. And he that was dead is one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. Came forth and he was hopping. And like Pastor Kunle told us on Wednesday, he said, loose him and let him go. When you loose him so he can see. And then you loose his hands and his feet so he can do. And when you begin to groan, hallelujah, and you put resurrection life inside your physical body, and it begins to begin manifest, it will loose you. Your eyes will start seeing that you may see the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And the life of God. So Romans 8:10. He says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall give life to your mortal body. I just loosed your eyes and your hands and your feet. And when you loose it like that, the world will see. And they will believe. Look, John 11:45. I got to close. God have mercy. Have I helped anybody here? And many of the Jews. Turn to your neighbor. Say, many of the Christians. Amen. Jews in the Old Testament is Christians in the New Testament, which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did. They're going to see us raise the dead. Believed on him. See, these are people who had honest hearts, but there was a lot of confusion in their mind because of experiences. This resurrection power made manifest in the mortal flesh will settle all controversies, and they will believe. Romans 8:26. I gotta close. Last scripture. Am I helping anybody here? This is a prophetic message. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our New International. This is the one that captures the spirit of that scripture better than the King James. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. How many people's bodies are feeling weak now? My body feels weak sometimes. You see, remember, Abraham faced the fact. Hello? Body's feeling weak. It's going older. You feel pain in your body. Hello? Those are the facts. But the life is greater than the fact. Like in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That's King James, I'm so used to it. For we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through, I like that, wordless groans. Pastor Dewey was teaching the other day. Is a groan. It is not words, but it's a groan God hears. And when you groan like that, life goes into the physical and it begins to change it. The world is about to see not one Abraham and not one Sarah, but an army of Abrahams and Sarahs who will have the life of God manifest in their mortal flesh, and they will come and say, yes, now we believe God is in thee. Let us pray. Talk to God. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. 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 Now the life of God, that's what Easter is all about. The resurrection in Abraham and Sarah. And that can be you, me, any Christian, any one of us who's the seed of Abraham is available to us. And God has helped us now to paint a very clear, unambiguous picture of how to get it. So I want you to continue in what you've been doing. We're going to close this service. I know I spent a little bit longer time than I actually thought I would, but I believe it's all for the common good. Hallelujah. We're living prophetically at that time now where the Abraham and the Sarahs will begin to come forth. You know, if you look back at Abraham and Sarah's life, you would have been laughing at them. What are you believing? Can this ever happen? If the heavens were open, can these things be so? One of the worst things is unbelief. God is not a liar. You know that already. He got you born again. He got you filled with the Holy Spirit. You know where you used to be. You know where you are now. The God that did that can't do this. All he needs is your belief and your cooperation. Everybody, put one hand on your body. Raise the other hand to God. We're going to pray for resurrection power and life to be made manifest in your life, in your mortal body, in your circumstances, in your academics, in your situations, in your finances. It's going to affect every area of your life. Say, Father, I confess our sins, and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me that it is your will that I experience the life of God being made manifest in my mortal flesh, that I experience a resurrection while inside the body. Oh my God. Oh my God. Have mercy on me. Open my eyes. Help thou my unbelief. Help me to see and to believe the power of your resurrection that it exerts over believers today. Help me to understand that I can experience resurrection power before the last day in my mortal flesh for all men to see, so that I will become a type of Abraham and Sarah, that the world will look upon and believe your word. Your word tells us that in this end time, as your glory is seen upon us, Gentiles, the nations, shall come to the brightness of our rising. Oh God, oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be faithful to this heavenly calling that you have revealed to me, in Jesus' name.